Today's show is sponsored by Talkspace, the online therapy company. For a fraction of the price of traditional therapy, you can pick an experienced, licensed therapist you relate to and feel comfortable with. Each and every therapist has at least a master's degree and has completed over 3,000 hours of supervised work. To match with your perfect therapist, go to Talkspace.com/boom. And to show your support for this podcast, use code BOOM to get $30 off your first month. That's BOOM, Talkspace.com/boom, B-O-O-M.
You are Locked On 76ers, your daily podcast on the Philadelphia 76ers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Yep.
Welcome to Locked On 76ers. I'm your host, Keith Pompey. Happy Friday to you. I didn't go to practice yesterday on Thursday. It was my off day, but my man, Mark Narducci, if I can't be there, I would love for Mark to do it. Mark's the man. Mark, thanks for subbing in, and thanks for joining me with this podcast today.
Hey, Keith, always a pleasure.
Always a pleasure. Now, I just want to fill y'all in. Yesterday's practice was a lot of information. Nerlens Noel participated in his first 5-on-0 scrimmage. So when they do that, they have to make him available to the media, right? Nerlens, when I spoke to Nerlens back in, before training camp, he voiced his displeasure in the way things were being ran within the organization. Nerlens didn't back down yesterday. Also, Mark spoke to Joel Embiid, and he got some information that, you know, that we kind of had yesterday, but he kind of advanced it. And then another thing, I stand to be corrected. In yesterday's paper, or yesterday's on Philly.com, I wrote that Jared Bayless was going to guard point guards when Ben Simmons comes in as the point guard, meaning Jared Bayless is going to play off the ball when they're on offense, and then he's going to guard the point guards on defense. That's what Brett Brown told me before. Well, Brett Brown changed his mind, and he informed Mark about that yesterday. So, Mark, just talk to us a little bit about practice and just tell me what really stood out, because it was a wacky day from my understanding.
It really was, Keith. The first thing that stood out is just how unhappy Nerlens Noel is. He was asked if his mindset has changed since he talked to you and said in the article he wasn't happy, there were too many centers on the roster. And he said to the questioner, "The roster hasn't changed." Mm. And that was his way of saying, "I'm just as unhappy." And he kept making inferences like, well, as long as I'm here and everything like that. So he's very unhappy. Now, I have to say this. He's very happy to be back with his teammates. He likes his teammates. He likes everything, I think, about the situation, except he wishes he could have more minutes. And Brett Brown estimates 4 to 5 games at least until he returns. And the interesting part is, Keith, Brett said Nerlens still has a lot of classroom work to do. And when Nerlens was asked about that, he said, "Classroom work? I've been here a couple of years now. I know the system." He says, "Yeah, I might have to get used to a few new sets and plays and stuff like that. But Brett sounded like he needs tons and tons of classroom work." So there just still seems to be a little rift between those two.
It sounds like to me that Brett doesn't want to play him. That's what it sounds like, because, I mean, like, you look at the team and they say it's classroom work. You know, I don't really see them playing any, like, mind-boggling plays, you know, running the Princeton offense or anything like that. And I get it. You know, Brett is a tough situation for him. You know, you know, we're asking him, are you going to do the twin towers? So you're not going to put the triple threat out there. So I understand. And then you have Rashawn Holmes, who's been the loyal guy. So I get what Brett's saying, but I also, in a way, understand Nerlens. Like, what are you talking about, classroom work? So I see it from both ends right there.
Yeah, there's no question about it. But right now, Nerlens has to, he admits he has to get in basketball shape. He looks good and everything like that. He said he was just playing with pain all throughout last year, and he's glad he got the situation done with his knee and everything, and he's ready to go. The other thing is, Keith, Brett was asked, in fact, I asked him, will we see in Friday's game against Orlando the Twin Towers? He was going to do it against Sacramento. The game got postponed. And he said it's possible. He says, I don't get this fascination with everybody thinking about this. But the bottom line is, if Joel Embiid is going up to 28 minutes a game, as he's now going, is that going to cut Okafor's minutes that much more? So it's interesting. I think eventually they're going to have to see if this worked. You and I talked on a previous podcast about both of us maybe not thinking it will work, but the Sixers, I think, have to at least see, because what the heck do they have to lose?
Yeah, they have to see. Yeah, we don't think it's going to work.
Right.
And you're right. You know, you look at Orlando's front court. You know, it will work well with the Sixers. I mean, they should pair up against them. Now, they didn't do it the last time.
Right.
And I know Brett was saying minute restrictions. But, you know, Brett's a realist. Brett knows the same. I mean, heck, we're reporters. He's a coach. He knows it's going to struggle. He wants to win basketball games. His horse, I shouldn't call him a horse, because, you know, right, his franchise player is going to be up to 28 minutes. You know, he doesn't really want to do it, but it sounds good. It's the thing. It's what everybody wants to hear. You know, the fans want to, like, hey, we got these two guys. Let's play them together. But, deep down inside, I know Brett says all the right things, but I get a hunch by the fact that he said, why is everyone fascinated with it, that he really doesn't want to.
Well, and the other thing is, and everyone knows this by now, but Embiid is going to play against Orlando. He will not play in the back-to-back against Boston. And they asked Embiid, if he has a say in these decisions. And he says, you know, he talks to Brett, and Brett says they talk about it and all this. But Embiid really wants to play. He says, I haven't played, you know, since Sunday, and I really want to get to it. So he's excited about the minutes, you know. And you know what's interesting, Keith? You look at it, he's averaging, I guess, under 23 minutes, and he's averaging 18 points. It's an incredible, and 7.8 rebounds. It's an incredible ratio. You wonder what these extra minutes could be. And I speculated on something. Could these extra minutes get him into the All-Star game?
It could, man. I mean, it could. I mean, you think about it, but also, you could look at it two ways. When he gets in there, he knows that he's not playing the full game, right? He knows he's on a minute restriction. So he tries to,
get it all in.
Get it all in.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
As opposed to someone letting the game come to himself, he's trying to be like, look, I got to get this because I'm not going to, after 24 minutes or 22 minutes, I'm sitting on the bench. But again, it's crazy because, like we talked about it before, excuse me, the numbers that he's putting up, the things that he's doing, the stats, if he was not on a minute restriction or if he didn't miss games, he would be ranked in the NBA in at least four different categories. That's crazy as a rookie.
Yeah.
So when you think of it, yes, he does deserve to be considered for the All-Star game. He does. I mean, it's funny. Like when we were in, when I was in Toronto earlier this week, another reporter says to me, after the Sixers, got destroyed, and the reporter knew that they took Cleveland to the wire the night before, and he says, Embiid must be the second coming of Wilt Chamberlain. And I thought the guy was joking. I'm like, come on, man. He says, no, I'm serious. He says, I know it's funny to say that, but he's saying, and I'm not really comparing him to Wilt, but he makes a huge difference on the Sixers. And for your point, yeah, if this guy can play more minutes and can play every night, come on, this team would have won three more games.
Well, maybe if he could have even played minutes against Memphis, et cetera. We've been through all that. The other thing is he was very excited about the prospect of Ben Simmons being a point guard.
Okay.
Because he knows what he can do. You know, they have a history, a friendship that goes back. And the thing is, I think it's really the only move for the Sixers. I really do. I mean, Brett Brown said, well, we didn't think as a 19-year-old coming in, you'd throw the ball right to him and say, run this offense. But he said, I've talked to him. He's shown his intelligence and everything. But to me, it was never another choice. Now, the interesting part is that he wants him to guard point guards too. And here's the thing, Keith. It can be very confusing if you're playing against one guy and guarding a different guy, there's so much in that crossover. There's so much of a chance to get mixed up defensively. So, yes, will he be able to hang with the quickness of a Russell Westbrook or Chris Paul? Maybe not, but nobody else does that either. I think it's the right move, and I think you've got to have the ball in the hands of your best passer, and I don't think there's any question about it. He's their best passer, has the most court awareness, and he's 6'10". You know, so I think it's a good move. Will he struggle defensively? Yes, but all point guards do, because the point guards, as you know, in the NBA, it's the toughest position, I think, to defend.
It's a tough position, but I don't think that he's going to be, you know, I know what Brett's saying, but I don't think that he's going to be on point guards all throughout the game either. You know what I mean? Because, like, if this guy is getting, if he's out there on the island, and like you say, Russell Westbrook is, like, just driving past him left and right, it's insane to keep him on there. You're going to have to put somebody else on him. So I understand that. You know, I really do. I understand that. But, you know, I think the thing that's really going to be a concern initially is we have to see what his condition is going to be like. We have to see all that. Because he's probably going to be on a minutes restriction, you know, early on. And, you know, so I think that what the fans and everyone, we all have to do is we just have to be realistic early on. He's not going to be the Ben Simmons like he would have been if he didn't have that injury. And it may even take him a couple months. But here's something else. The great thing about playing him as a point guard is, you know, I know he's a point forward and he can pass the ball, but they're going to have a high draft pick. And if he can play the point guard and if he can excel at the point guard, then that will help you. It won't be any like, okay, do I need to go after a point guard? Do I have to go after one in free agency? So you're basically answering a lot of questions. Now, if he struggles a little bit, then you can say, okay, well, we'll have the ball in his hands next year, but then we go after a point guard.
Here's my one question, Keith, and no one can answer it at this point. We know how cautious the Sixers have been with the injuries. We know his expected return is sometime in January. I'm wondering how cautious they're going to be and if he indeed will be here in January.
Yeah. I mean, you know what? I think that he may. I think because, I mean, the reason why I think so is just because he really wants to play. And I think the Sixers, you know, right now, let's face it, when you take Joel Embiid off the floor, it's the same team as last year.
Right.
And I think they want to separate themselves from last year's squad. They have to. And the excitement level. And then they want to move on to the next level. Like, you know, basically, we were tanking, and now we're going in here. Now, some people may say, hey, look, you guys are 4-14 right now. You'd be better off tanking again. You know, you'd be better off. But they don't want to do that. I mean, if anybody knows Brian Colangelo, he had numerous opportunities to tank when he was in Toronto. Now, they struggled. But he didn't want to tank. He wanted to build a team, and he tried to win.
No, so, I think they're done with the tanking. Yeah. I just think they're so cautious. Like, they've sat Embiid some games where everyone has raised their eyebrows and say, why did you do that? And that's why I just wonder. I hope you're right. I hope you see him in January. I just know with how cautious they are with these guys, who knows? But I know one thing. He can't come back soon enough.
No, he can't. I mean, he can't from the excitement standpoint. Now, the only thing is he will not get Rookie of the Year.
No.
He will not do that. I think that's Joel Embiid's. He may not even make – I mean, he may have to ball out in order for him to make first-team All-Rookie, you know? But
I don't think the Sixers care one iota about that stuff.
Yeah, they don't care, but does he care?
Right.
That's the thing, you know?
But they're looking for development and everything like that. So I don't think that's a big deal. But, you know, they're waiting for him to come back. But I think it's interesting now that at least we won't be hearing this point forward and all this stuff. He is a point guard. That is his best position. And they're going to play him at it.
Yeah, they're going to play him at it. Well, hey, they have an exciting game tonight. They'll have an exciting game on Saturday against Boston. And then, you know, we'll see if Nerlens Noel will come back next week. If they talk about four games, that's going to be Tuesday at Memphis. If not, he'll play, or he could play in five games. It will be Thursday at New Orleans. Sixth game is seven at six games will be at Detroit. But like Brett Brown said, you never know. So it could be ending up on the 14th against Toronto at home.
Yeah, well, Keith, the one thing is that you have to say about Nerlens is, even when he comes back, what's he going to do? You know, is he going to get a 5 minutes here? Is he going to get a few minutes here? So it's weird. It's not like everyone's really anticipating and excited about this the way they are about Ben Simmons. Yeah. I think even when he comes back, you really have to wonder what kind of a factor Nerlens Noel is going to be in this lineup.
Yeah, you're right. Look, man, I'm tired of about to choke on you and stuff like that.
I'll tell you, you're having a rough time. You're good. I'll tell you, Keith has done a good job here. He's been a little bit under the weather, and he's been gutting it out here to get this podcast out. After a crazy evening that he had on Wednesday night when a game was postponed, and you did good work there too, trying to track down some of the people and see what happened there in that building.
Yeah, thanks. Well, you know how we do. Only plan. But look, I want to thank you all for listening to this podcast. I'm sorry if my coughing caught some of you guys off guard. I'm just trying to get a little bit better. I hope I don't get Mark sick. I don't think I will. But thank you for listening, and I'll be with you. I'll be back on Monday.
You are Locked On 76ers, your daily Philadelphia 76ers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Somewhere deep inside your mind, there's a place where dreams live. And now those dreams have the chance to come to life because USAA Life Insurance is sponsoring the Live Your Dream sweepstakes, where you could win $50,000. That's $50,000 to let those dreams out of your head and into your hands. Enter for a chance to win and view official rules at www.usaa.com/lifesweeps or call 1-800-531-LIFE.
No purchase necessary. USAA Life Insurance Company, San Antonio, Texas, and in New York, by USAA Life Insurance Company of New York, Highland Falls, New York.